What's up, everybody? Welcome to Water Break. My name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thorogood.
What's up, everyone? And like always, we've got another dope episode prepared for you guys. So before you keep listening, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now. Get ready to relax. Take a water break.
Welcome back to another episode of Water Break. We are excited about today's episode because we're talking about kind of all sports in general today, but I'm excited because the NBA just announced their day to return.
Yeah, the NBA is coming back December 22nd.
That's right.
We're excited about this episode. It's been a while. Well, it's been a week since we were back on. So took a little week off, and we're back at it. We're excited to bring more episodes. We've got a lot of episodes coming up down the pipeline. So we are excited for today's and for the rest of the episodes of the season.
It's crazy. Like 3 weeks ago, you know, we had the finals and the World Series within a matter of a month, and then it's coming back like so quick.
Yeah, yeah. Everything,
like,
nothing,
turnaround. But then it's like the turnaround is just so fast. Like baseball, you know, is going to, I'm sure they'll pick up kind of on their normal track and stuff like that, which baseball kind of turns around quick anyways, because pitchers and catchers report, I believe, at the end of February. And then they're getting going in April. So that's kind of on the normal track already. But for basketball to just finish, you know, a month ago, and then December, they're coming back. That's going to be crazy to see, you know, just like kind of what we saw in the NFL. I wonder if there's going to be a lot of injuries and things like that with, you know, some teams have had even longer, you know, like the Hawks and stuff like that. They didn't go to the bubble. They've had even longer. But you think about teams, you know, like the Heat, the Lakers, the Celtics, teams that were there for a while, you know, that's going to be unique. So
we're definitely going to dive into it. So we're really talking today, you know, with COVID, the pandemic, with everything going on, you know, really the topic for today is, you know, will sports go back to normal?
Yeah.
And so we're excited. We're ready to jump into it. Dalen, you ready?
Let's do this.
Yeah. So, really, you know, the sports landscape really changed going all the way back to March of this, you know, of 2020, you know, and it seems like that was last year.
It does.
But, you know, it wasn't too long ago, but, you know, when everything kind of shut down, you know, the NBA pulled the trigger first on shutting everything down. It was the OKC versus Jazz game. And Jazz players were tested positive for COVID, and then, but we really didn't know what COVID was. Like, that's what's crazy about it. Like, how much we know now.
At that point, it was almost like, you know, I'd been around, you know, I'm a youth pastor here in the area, and some of the teens were like joking, like every time someone would cough or sneeze, it was like, like COVID, oh, I have COVID. Like, because no one really understood the magnitude of what it was. And I remember that. And I remember that at that time when I heard the NBA was closing down, you know, shutting down, I was like,
really?
Like, yeah. Like, that's, It almost blew my mind, you know, and I remember replaying when even the fans in the arena where they announced, you know, hey, everyone is safe, but this game's going to be shut down. I remember that, and everyone's booing and, like, you know, going crazy. Like, they're so upset to think, like you said, that happened in 2020.
Yeah. Like, and everybody had to, you know, leaving the arena, the game's over, we paid for these tickets, and like you said, we didn't really know the magnitude of everything. And then it was just crazy, like, seeing on social media, you know, like in the weeks to follow, every time they would post, you know, it'd be like almost like sad and gloomy, you know, like Sean Payton has tested positive. And it's just like a dark cloud around, like, just like everything's like, oh my goodness, is he going to be okay? Like, is this, you know, like, you know, obviously it's been life threatening for some people, but it almost felt like it's life threatening to everyone.
Like, you're, you know, it's not likely you're going to make it through. Like, that's,
yeah,
for a while it was like, everything was so up and down, like you didn't know what to think. And yeah, I mean, for me, remembering that moment, and then, you know, all of a sudden it was like this, you know, this trigger, like, man, one thing happened and then everything was canceled.
Yeah,
it just went so quick.
So yeah, NBA went first, and then it was you know, MLS, and then NBA and NHL and MLB, and everybody just kind of was done. And then, you know, all the way trickled down to, you know, even the sector that we're at, you know, at the high school level, like, it was, all right, no more sports, you know.
So just quick, yeah.
Just even, you know, coaching, you know, Dalen, you were coaching AAU basketball, and it was just done. All of the seasons were done. So it's just,
we didn't even have time to kind of get everything going. And yeah. It was just like everything just shut down. But I mean, it just goes to show you kind of how long this year has been, you know, just with, like you guys were saying, that was back in March. And like, it just feels like March was forever ago just yeah. with everything. But yeah, it's been crazy. And, you know, we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah. And I guess the real question of the day that we're going to try to answer, because we want to talk about this, is will sports ever get back to normal after this period that we've experienced? Obviously, you know, we think about, you know, on this show, we like to talk a lot of NBA, NFL, MLB, because those are the main sports that we know. But just everything in general, we can talk about that, you know, because for a period of time, everything was shut down. I remember, you know, this was a long time ago. This seemed like it was a long time ago, and it was super ghetto. But you remember when the NBA did horse from home?
No, oh, yeah.
You remember that? Like, I didn't actually watch it. That I was just a stretch. Saw it on Instagram. Yeah. Like, that was super, like, you know, like, I don't even remember who it was, but I think it was, like, Chris Paul. Like,
yeah,
I remember some, Chris like, camera from, like, his computer was getting all glitchy and blurry, and he was at, like, his backyard, like, playing horse against, you know, like, Chauncey Billups. And, you know, it was just, like, that. It was so crazy, the creativity that they were coming up with, yeah, just to do anything, you know. But there's a lot to kind of go about this, you know, when we answer this question, because more happened than just COVID, T. I mean, you think about the civil rights things, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything like that. So we are specifically talking about COVID, but just in general, really everything that's happened in 2020.
Yeah.
Will it get back to normal? Not only with those things, but just in general, I feel like because of COVID, sports are definitely going to look different, but also because of what we've experienced these past few months, you may disagree with me on this, but it almost seems like people have gotten used to not watching sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for you and me, you know, and for the three of us, we are, you know, sports kind of surrounds our life, you know, even before this podcast, before we even started it. We're all involved in coaching. We play pickup basketball. We talk about sports and have it in conversation. We watch sports all the time, constantly. And then there was this period of time where I didn't even think about sports at all. Like, it wasn't even a thought. I don't remember watching SportsCenter, anything, you know, like on ESPN, nothing. And I've jumped back into it, I think, because, you know, we are extreme sports fans. But for the casual sports fan, it almost seems like they were content with not having sports.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to touch on was, I feel like, and I agree with you on that, like, people just became content. Like, I feel like a lot of sports are going to have to earn the trust back of the fans, especially, you know. I just think of, you know, the NBA, even the NFL. Like, the NFL has allowed, you know, some, you know, fans in their stadium, which I think the NFL, because, like, teams like Kansas City were able to start week one having fans, I think the NFL is in a good shape. But I think of, like, you know, the NBA, like, they're indoors and, you know, in an arena. Like, how is it going to be, you know, everyone just being able to trust with, you know, with the pandemic, and how are they going to do that? You know, they've talked about, you know, the season starting in December, but at the same time, are fans going to be allowed to go watch those games? Or even if they're saying, like, yeah, fans can come back, well, how comfortable are fans going to be there? And then, you know, you've talked about, you know, definitely the social justice efforts and all of that. And it's definitely, to be honest, it's definitely rubbed, you know, some people the wrong way. I don't think it's a cause that every fan has been united. I mean, you just look at, you know, the viewership numbers, like, for the NBA finals, you know, I think it was the most watched game had, like, around 7 million or so views, in comparison to, like, you know, obviously we go back to, like, Michael Jordan, you know, that was the most viewed finals.
But even last year, I think it was game. Like 14, 15 million.
Yeah, 14 million with the...
So it was like cut in half?
Yeah, it was cut in half. So I think, and part of it is, like, you know, you can play, you can factor in a lot of things, whether it's, you know,
same it going being on in the same time as the NFL.
Same time as the NFL, it's in a bubble, there's no fans, like, and, you know, so there's a lot of different factors, you know, and then obviously, you know, there's people who are upset about, you know, the political views and different things. Like, they just really wanted it to be, you know, because the messages of vote, you know, and stuff like that, and everyone needs to vote and pushing the voting and the election and all of these different things. It was, everyone's like, okay, we get it, we're going to go vote.
And there were even some people that I would say would lean and would agree with many of the things the league was pushing, you know?
Yeah.
There are people on opposite sides, whatever, but there are people, but even some of those people I talked to were kind of like, you know, we just want to watch basketball.
Yeah.
Like even we agree with everything you're pushing, you know, there, I had talked to many people that were very supportive of the Black Lives Matter movement and everything.
Yeah.
And even they were saying like, okay, like we get it. Like after, you know, pregame, postgame, like everything, like, We just want to watch basketball. We want to interview LeBron James. We want to hear about what's happening in the locker room. We want to hear about what's it like being in year 17 competing at this level. We don't want to listen to a 20-minute spiel on why we should vote.
Like,
And those are people that, again, agree with him on these issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it almost felt like there was no pocket of just, can it just be sports for right now? And like, there's two sides. Like even on the podcast, you know, we were talking, like, we liked some of, you know, we thought it was cool, the, you know, the messaging on the back of the jerseys, you know, what, you know, whatever, I think that's, you know, cool, and, you know, pushing different causes and different issues, you know, but that's fine. But, you know, at the same time, it was almost like you kind of feel in this same boat, like it's just okay, like the somewhat, I guess, redundancy of it's always the same thing. Like, okay, we're going to turn it away from sports and we're going to talk, you know, different political messages or different viewpoints, which again, like we all, you know, some we agree with, some I would agree with, some I would disagree with, but at the same time, there was no, like, you know, pocket to really talk about sports. And again, like a lot of the, this is my take on it. And you may disagree with it, but my take on, like, you know, the athletes who would, you know, kind of be like, well, you know, the whole, I'm more than an athlete and I'm, you know, just, I can say this, I'm not just an entertainer, but it's like, no, in this forum, you are an entertainer. Like in basketball, as a basketball player, you are, I came to watch you play basketball and entertain and not to, you know, hear the political, even if I agree with you, even if, you know, I don't have a problem with what you're saying necessarily, it's just in this forum, can you do this? Just like if, you know, you go to, you know, the dentist and the dentist is in your ear the whole time telling you all of his different political views. And you're like, dude, can you just fix my teeth?
I'm trying to get a root canal right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's no, like, I'm get it. I agree with you. But at the same time, like, can you pick up the tools and fix my teeth?
Well, because, you know, it's almost different to, like, it's not to me. I'm not, you know, this, I'm politics, not my thing.
Neither of us are like,
I don't enjoy the conversations. Anytime someone, if someone I'm really good close with, you and I can have a conversation every once in a while, whatever. But if someone I'm not super close with wants to talk politics with me, I literally do everything in my power to avoid that conversation. Like, I just don't enjoy it. But I'm okay. It didn't seem like in the NBA, it didn't seem like it was, let's have a conversation. It was, do this.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to happen. It wasn't, let's talk about this. And that for me, that for me was a little bit where the problem was. And also, this frustrates me a little bit with fans on both sides. You know, you think about in sports, there are so many people that have different political views as fans. You know, I'm a Laker fan, and I'm sure there are, all of us have different political views as Laker fans. But what brings us together?
Yeah, sports.
We love the Lakers.
Yeah, or the Lakers.
That brings us together. But it almost seems as if we are okay with an athlete having a voice if they agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
But if that athlete doesn't agree with us, then it's like, oh, just shut up and play basketball.
Yeah.
To me, I don't care if I agree with this athlete or disagree with this athlete. I just want him to play. I'm not saying shut up and dribble. If you want to go on, you know, CNN, you want to go on Fox and you want to share, that's totally fine. But what I'm saying is during the game, let me watch the game.
Yeah,
I mean, this was, I don't remember when it was, but it was like, I think it was the first or second quarter of a game during the regular season. And it was right after the first quarter, they started asking Pop about all these social justice issues in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
And he was like answering it. And, you know, Pop, like in the middle of the game, he like literally will roast people and just be like, you know, what happened in that first game? We played bad.
Yeah. We missed shots.
We didn't rebound. Like, those are his answers. But after the first quarter, he's like giving these in-depth answers. It's like, this is the middle of the game. Like, if you want to do this post-game, whatever, after the game, but can we just talk about basketball?
Yeah.
That's where my frustration is. I don't care if I agree with you. I don't care if I disagree with you. I don't want to hear it. I want you to play basketball. Now, again, you want to have your voice on social media and everything like that? That's fine, because I can choose to follow you or to not follow you. Everyone, you know, I have friends that are uber conservative. I have friends that are really liberal. And my friends that are really conservative will always, you know, talk about LeBron James and oh, this idiot on social media. Don't follow him. Yeah. Block him.
Exactly.
Because even if SportsCenter retweets him, if you block him, you won't see his posts. Like, if you are that upset with what he's saying, then just block him. So this conversation is really kind of us talking about the league, but also kind of telling the fan, like, just don't be so upset with this person's political view or this person's political view. I just love to watch the game.
Yeah.
I love the sport. Yeah. And I don't want that to change. And I think there are fans that are taking it as it's only political, which it is. There is a lot of politics in it. But I would challenge you to appreciate the greatness of the athlete and the player and the game and ignore all that stuff on the side.
Yeah. And I can see both sides. Like, it's definitely, you know, hard for, you know, some people to, you know, to not see past that or to ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're one side or the other. Like, and I totally get what you're saying, you know, of fans who are, oh, I agree, you know, like, I'll reshare or I'll post or I'll be excited about this player if they agree with me. It was like, you know, people who are, you know, a little more liberal, it's like, you know, LeBron James, or, you know, or a particular athlete, you know, says something, you know, about a particular social justice cause. And they're just like, yeah, I love that. Speak your voice, speak your truth and all this. And then it's like, you know, and then you have people who are hating on them. And then you have, like, you know, Jonathan Isaac, who decides to stand. And it's like, oh, you know, speak the truth, you know, you should, you know, stand or whatever. And it's like, you can't tell LeBron James to shut up, but then Jonathan Isaac makes a stand. Exactly. And you'd be like, oh, I'm so proud of this, you know, young man. He's just, he loves our country and all this. And again, like, yeah, I'm glad he made his stand on standing for the flag. And I'm glad for these other, you know, people. I'm glad that we live in a country where everyone can
have a
voice and talk and speak their mind, even if you know, I don't agree. I do think, as far as the fan, the, you know, sports earning their trust back, I think, like, the NBA in particular, I felt like took the fans for granted in the fact that, like, they could go over the top and be like you said, telling people what to do, like, telling people they need to do this, and if they're not, you're a terrible person, or you're a horrible person, or we shouldn't want to listen to you. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are just,
they were turned off to that.
Yeah, they were just turned off by that. We're like, man, I really love this team, like, and I really, like, and part of me, like, does agree with you, but now if you're telling me, like, I have to do it, or you're, like, shoving it down my throat, now it's like, all right, well, I'd rather not do it altogether. Yeah. So I think that's a huge thing of just, you know, them gonna have to. Like I said, the NBA, I feel like, took it for granted. The MLB, you know, they did the same thing. And then they came out really strong with, you know, a lot of the social justice, and then kind of, like, definitely pulled back. Yeah. And the NFL week one did too, but, you know, saw fans were definitely turning off.
I think with the NBA, though, Adam Silver saw that.
Yeah.
Because if you heard him during, after, he's made it very clear, there's not going to be any social justice stuff on names, on courts.
Yeah.
And he pretty much said, like, we have to pull back from this. Like,
he turned off because even you had, you know, like, Mark Cuban, who said, you know, well, if, you know, he said something along the lines of, you know, they asked him, what do you think about the fans who are turned off by all of these things? They're like, well, we don't want those fans anyways. And it's like, well, now you've just alienated a good part of your base who wants to definitely listen to you.
I mean, that's not the only reasons, but there's a good reason why you're down so far in ratings, because that's what you're saying. We only want to reach this group of people that agree with us solely. And that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Think about, like we used the illustration, if a dentist said, I only want to work on people's teeth who are Democrats or who are Republicans. That just, like, doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, then you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because you're only reaching half of the possible people in this area that you can reach. Like, for the NBA, like, yeah, you can have your opinion. You can make your statements. But to say, well, we don't want those people as fans, like, that's really foolish, because that's half of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw our country during these elections, I mean, it's neck and neck. It's split. Our country is split. So you're literally telling, and not everyone's a sports fan, but you're telling half of the country, we don't want you.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind, and
that's the thing, is it's not even like the NBA is, you know, is so big that they can afford to just lose half of,
yeah,
you know, half of their fan base like that. So I think just that whole approach of, you know, well, fine, we don't want you anyways, and yeah, turning off your fan base definitely hurt the NBA and it, you know, the whole league going forward. So I don't know, it'd be interesting, but not just, you know, the political side of things, but obviously, you know, the safety of COVID, you know, there's just a lot of people who are nervous about it. There are people who are, you know, hesitant to, especially, you know, with their work situations. Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking, like, if you work in the medical field, like, you probably won't get to go watch a game.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be around all of those fans, and then you got to go back and work, you know, work in the hospital with all these people, and, you know, or people who are, you know, going to work, you know, if now it's like, I went to a basketball game, but, you know, I got COVID and now I have to quarantine for 2 weeks or whatever, you know? So it's like,
and it's definitely the atmosphere, even watching it from TV is extremely different without fans.
Oh yeah.
And I think we could say, you know, the MLB actually ended up having fans in, you know, in the playoffs, in the World Series. But I think we could say, you know, the NBA did a great job for having no fans. They did a very good job. Like,
yeah,
they put on, they put on a really, really great in the bubble. It was really great for what they had,
for
working with what they had. They really did a great job. I think a lot of that had to do with, there was this energy and excitement from the players just to be back. And somehow, I don't know what happened, and we can talk about this again, but there was more like big plays in the bubble than I feel like any other.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
playoffs.
So many buzzer beaters and just memorable moments. You know, you think about Luka hitting that three and Anthony Davis and Jamal Murray just balling out, and him and Donovan Mitchell going back to back, having 250 point games in a series, and Devin Booker going 8-0 in the bubble, and just
Anunoby.
Raptor shot, and then the Clippers falling apart and the Nuggets just taking them, and Jokic just, I mean, it was just, there were so many great storylines this year that I felt like they did as good of a job as they could have done in that circumstance. But you still have to look at it and say, okay, not having fans is still different. They did a great job, but with the fans, it just creates a different energy. And like you said, the MLB and the NFL, because they're outdoor stadiums, have a better opportunity to do that. I don't see the NBA this season having fans at all.
Yeah,
I don't think there's been a clear-cut decision on what they're going to do.
No,
but I don't see them having fans. I don't think that happens till maybe even the following year. You know, if there ends up, you know, we end up getting a vaccine and stuff like that, you know, then possibly halfway through the year or whatever. But I just don't see it happening. And so people feel attached to their teams, and they're more, I feel like there are, for big fans of a specific team, especially if you go to a game or two, once you go to one or two games in a season, that really connects you more to that organization. And so what do you want to do? You want to follow that team throughout the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, for guys like us who are huge sports fans, but for guys who aren't, you know, even for me, I remember I'm not a big hockey fan, but my uncle worked for the Kings. And so he took me to a few games. We watched the Kings play. And that season, I watched like 15 Kings games at home. Well, why? Because I was connected to that team because I was live at that game. And I think for the casual sports fan, them not being there pulls them away and almost is like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
It's that friendship that you have from high school.
Yeah. You bring, yeah.
You see that buddy from high school and you're like, oh, that's my homie, you know, whatever. But if you don't see him for 2 years, you're like, I'm not really thinking about him. Like he's, you know, he moved to Iowa. Like, but if he comes down for a reunion or something like that, then it's like, that's my homie. Like, we're going to be together. We're going to, you know, and I feel like it's almost the same way with sports.
Yeah. You make a good point just about the fan going to the game and then staying connected with the team, because I think that also took, you know, I was a big factor in the decline in viewership too.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, along with a lot of the other things, but that was a huge one because it was like, you know, for me, especially, you know, I'm a Spurs fan. You know, the Spurs obviously weren't in the playoffs this year, and so which isn't a problem. Like, you know, the Spurs got eliminated early last year, but I still really, you know, still watched and was still engaged, because whether it's, oh, I go to Clippers games and I'm, you know, I'm a part of it, or I watched my team play at least some point this mm-hmm. year, you're still kind of in the throes of it and you're still invested yeah. and you still want to be a part of it. But I think one thing, and I think, you know, I want to go back to it, what you said was fans being used to not watching sports and like being content with it and being okay with it. I think that's like, that's such a big thing that, you know, that we're not talking about a lot of mm-hmm. is, especially with streaming sports, and just not just sports, streaming all these different shows now. It's like where you almost don't too, have yeah. to, you don't have to plug in and like sit down in front of the TV. Like, it's almost like whether it's to rewatch a highlight or just like you can be kind of on the go, like you can be, whether you're out with a friend or whatever, you're out about town or whatever, it's like, oh, I can, you know, tune in and watch this game whenever, or I can decide I'll catch, you know, at this, at a later time.
Like, yeah. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and maybe this is a bad question because it's kind of been around for a few years, but do you think that social media has, because even in the past 10 years, we've seen a little bit of a decline in viewership of actual yeah. TV viewing of games. Do you think that has affected the ratings, because you can see all the big moments on social media?
Yeah, I think you could see the big moments in social media. I think two things, but I'll go with the first. I'll talk about that first one. But the social media is now, everybody is, you know, a lot of people are fans of players now, mm-hmm. In particular. And it's like, even for me during the bubble and especially the playoffs, I was really only tuning in to watch Luka play. I was tuning in, obviously, watching Laker games, hoping they would lose every game. But
which they didn't.
But, you know, but like, you know, I would tune in. I would, you know, hear, you know, Dalen would talk about, you know, Jason Tatum and, you know, all these different, Kemba Walker or whatever. And it's like, you know, he would talk about his players. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to tune in just and watch and see how these guys are and watch mm-hmm. a particular player. Like, I didn't really care for, you know, the Magic versus the Bucks. Like, I really didn't care for that game, that yeah. series in particular, because I, you know, whatever, I'm not really invested. But because I saw on social media, whether it was Dame hit a crazy buzzer beater or Luka or, you know, Jason Tatum or something like that, it was like, okay, I'm going to watch this team in particular.
Yeah.
So I think because now games are able to be condensed, even just, you know, you can go on the, you know, YouTube or like NBA.com or something like that. Like, you know, for example, the other day, like, you know, the Broncos won their game against the Chargers, and I watched the whole game, but at the same time, like, as a fan watching it, as like, was, came down to literally the last play, game winning touchdown at the end, I wanted to rewatch it, but I could go on YouTube and watch that whole game in 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, I love that. Do you go, you know, on House, I mean? Of Highlights?
Yeah, House of Highlights, yeah. Or whoever it is, you yeah. can watch, you can literally catch the whole gist of the game in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there's a lot of players now and a lot of fans. I don't know, Dalen, if you want to chime in on that side of it too, where it's just like, oh, well, I'm going to watch this game in, you know, for over 15 minutes because I'm going to catch my show on Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the average fan is kind of more so that will, yeah. you know, tune in, something like that. But like, for diehards like us, or even diehard fans, will want to watch every second of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something about, if you're, you know, a diehard fan for your team, that's what you want to do. But at the end of the day too, like, if I can't catch every second of the game I want to watch, I know I can go to social media and I'll see it within mm-hmm. 15 minutes, or go to House of Highlights or whoever, you know, whatever platform, and see, you know, whatever highlights I wanted to see.
So, well, yeah, I do that, you know, with the Lakers, I'll watch every second right. of the game, you know, but with other, like, it's, you know, especially during the playoffs, I'm watching every game on House of Highlights on YouTube. And like you said, it's usually 13 to 16 minutes, and you can watch every scoring play, mm-hmm. every huge block, every huge steal. Yeah. It takes away free throws. It takes away just dribbling. It's all the big moments of the game. And it, again, it takes 14 to 16 minutes. And so, you know, the Mavericks and Clippers are playing a game. Well, you know, I gonna hang out with my son, hang out with my wife, or maybe I got plans or whatever with some friends. I'm gonna watch that game later that night, and I can watch it in 15 minutes before I go to bed. I can spend an hour and watch every playoff game. You know, there's four playoff games that day. I can spend an hour and watch every playoff game in an hour. You know what I mean? And so, like you said, for the dedicated fans, you know, of a team, the Lakers, and you're a Celtics guy, you're a Spurs guy, we want to watch our teams play that whole game. But for us, you know, of fans of other teams and the casual fan, we no longer have to do that.
Yeah.
The casual fan no longer has to sit down for 2 hours. Who's just a casual sports fan. He cares, but it's not really a big deal. He'll watch the final game of the finals or whatever. But he can now, in 15 minutes, watch a game on YouTube.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's going to – definitely streaming is going to play a huge factor into the upcoming season, especially like even just illegal streams, you know, too, is pulls away, you know, the fans who are, you know, I'm not going to buy that package that, you know, where I can watch, you know, the Spurs play, you know, on NBA TV or whatever, you know, good as a league pass, you know, instead of buying that, well, I can just – you know, there's people who can just, well, just stream it illegally, you know, and watch the game. And that pulls more and more fans away, too. I think streaming has played a big factor in, you know, in the viewership, I feel like, you know, from the casual fan. And then definitely condensing games down and watching them so fast. But I think, too, another, like for the NBA in particular, I think another reason why I think it's just as far as the viewership and everything is starting to decline, I personally, I think just the way the game is played too has affected. I think you're like, because you're losing a lot of the, you know, old heads, you know, the fans who watched MJ or watched, you know, the game back in the day and watch it was, you know, pass, screen and cut, watching that style of basketball. And now it's, you know, pull up from three, and it's about the 3-point game, and it's about small ball, and it's about, you know, and players can't be, you know, they can't foul hard anymore. You can't hand check, you know, all of those different things. And then the player mobility, like players are just star players are leaving teams, you know, after 2 years or whatever, or it's like after one season, it's like, oh, it was, where does Kawhi go next? Or where does Paul George or James Harden, or where did this player go? Where does this player go? And so now it's like, as a fan, especially if you're like, if you have a small market team, it's like, well, my whole team could blow up here in literally 2 years. Because, like, I feel like there's all of that. You're like, the young crowd doesn't connect with teams anymore. Like, they're with just players. So I think definitely now they're not really dialed into watching every game and tuning into a whole team. And then you have the older fans who are like, I don't even like how the game is played anymore. I'm not a big fan of it. So I think that's definitely affecting the NBA. I think more the player mobility more than the way the game is played, but I think those are like two other big factors that are affecting like the sport going back to normal and fans wanting to get back into really watching it all together, like, you know, how they were before.
And I think the reason we're mainly talking about the NBA is because it seems like the NFL has it's down, but it seems like it's still, you know, been pretty consistent. The MLB has had fans, so it seems more like, you know, especially during the playoffs, like, okay, like this seems more normal. I guess the reason is because the NBA did the bubble is why that's where most of our conversation is coming from, because it's almost like what is going to happen this next season? Yeah. And I'm really interested. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't see them doing another bubble for a whole season.
Yeah,
I don't. They can't. I mean, they're just. I don't think the players would be away from their families for that long.
No.
So what do you do? Because they were able to amazingly keep, you know, no positive COVID test for an entire, for 3 months was it? You know, in the bubble. And so what do you do to keep players safe, but also to allow them to be with their family? Because we learned. If they're home by themselves, you can put guidelines up, but not everyone's going to follow.
No,
that.
I mean,
we learned even in the bubble, Lou Williams going out to a strip club, Daniel House, you know, meeting one of the nurses, you know, or the COVID test the girls,
room
like,
service or whatever.
Yeah, like they were already breaking rules in the bubble. Like, there's going to be more rules broken while they're at home. So, what are you going to do to?
Yeah, I think they're in the same, like NFL and MLB, they both had the same thing, had positive COVID tests. Obviously, college football too, you know, guys like Trevor Lawrence and stuff like that, getting positive COVID tests.
So you just live with it?
So, yeah, I think it's just one of those things. I think they'll follow a little bit of what the NFL and the MLB and college football, I think they're going to kind of like, all right, well, we need to set up precautions and guidelines on what's going to happen. Because with 72 games, like that's a lot harder to rearrange or readjust the schedule. So I feel like
they have to finish before the Olympics.
They got to finish before the Olympics too. So
it's going to be tight, and there's going to be a lot of travel. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be
a lot of back to backs. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it's
the most ever.
Most back to backs. They went up by like four times, I think, mm-hmm. or something like that on back to backs. So yeah, I don't see it
at least. You know, the question at least is, will sports ever get back to normal? I would say for this year, no.
No. Yeah.
It won't be. And maybe in 2 or 3 years, but even I don't think our country is ever going to be back to where we were. You know, there's going to be different things that we're, you know, our country's never going to be the same because of it. When something big like this happens in anywhere, in your family, in your country, on a team, things change, and hopefully we'll be better from this, and we'll move on from this, and we'll be better from this. And just like in sports, you know, they may make some changes that are going to progress sports and make it grow even better. But for this year, I don't see sports.
I
don't think normal is a word you can use.
I think for all the sports, we're in the whole sports world, I think what it has to do is shift its focus, I think, from, you know, being about making a stand against, I don't want to say phantom, but like making a stand against different like ideologies, I guess, and be more so like, we need to stand up for the American people, and we need to stand for like for unity, you know. And I think I just looking at different times in our country, you know, obviously, you know, 9/11, you know, it was like people were at, you know, the sporting events, and it was just like, you know, one thing we do have in common is we're all Americans. So let's unite on that, unite on that front. Or it's, you know, you can go all the way back to, you know, even the Great Depression. Again, it was like, we're still united on one front as just being Americans. And I think one of the big things is just the economic hit that's happened. People losing their jobs and, you know, not having money. And it's like, well, are you going to have the money to go back to a sporting event? Are you going to be able to just drop, you know, $400 or $500 to take your whole family to, you know, to a basketball game? You know, like, is it going to be worth it to you to do that? Are you going to have the money to do that? And at the same time, again, going along the lines of earning the trust back, am I willing to, I don't have the money already as it is. Am I willing to just, you know what, do something with my family, do something fun, scrounge up the $500, $600 to go to a basketball game, and then be preached at of how I'm a terrible person or whatever because I'm not on one side of the aisle or the other. Yeah. It's like, I think that's just the huge thing of, you know, with sports, it's got to just change its message and approach. Like,
you could go to a Timberwolves game for like $120 for like a family of five. Just a little caveat there. $500-$600 is a Lakers game. You know,
give it away tickets.
You could go.
But
to
I mean, that's
game.
but again, yeah,
you
that's
get the AAA Auto Club discount and $7 a ticket.
Jack in the Box coupon. It's coupons or something. Oh, you bring your Sprite cans to the game and you get again for free. No, but I think a lot of those things are you know, factors. And again, I was thinking about this though, when you were talking about, you know, the NBA versus the NFL, MLB or whatever. Do you think? The NFL got a lot of heat because it's just like, it's about the shield. It's about the NFL and players. There's no one above the shield, and they're really harsh on their players, especially with discipline or, you know, the cleats and all these different things, touchdown celebrations, all of that. And they got a lot of heat for that. And it was like the NBA, you know, with Adam Silver, it was like, oh, he's about the players. It's the players' league. And, you know, and you feel like, I feel like now it's this situation like where the NFL does have like its fans are still pretty loyal. It hasn't lost a ton of fans, yeah. And now people are coming to games, and the NFL is still moving along strong, whereas the NBA is like scrambling. MLB is scrambling. I mean, you know, MLB's in a different boat, but like I think for the NBA too is like somewhat of this scramble and this like panic. We've lost billions of dollars, you know, for obviously the bubble, but you know, even fans wise who don't want to come back to the games, it like. Should the NBA have been more like the NFL and like put their stand and actually legit taken a stand instead of like been this?
So here's what I would say, from my perspective, the NBA, what they did is, I think it's cool they allowed their players to have an opinion, but then they, like we talked about, they took a strong side, and like we said, our country's divided, and they took a side which kind of isolates them from half of the country, mm-hmm. you know, needless to say. I mean, I shouldn't say half, because there's a good amount of people that are in the middle, yeah. that are floating in the middle. But from, we could say fair, a large portion of people. Now, what that's what they did. They allowed their players to have a voice, and then they joined their players and said, we are taking this side. The NFL, what they did is, to me, they've allowed their players to have a little bit more of a voice this year. But what they did is, they haven't taken a strong side as far as, I mean, they're obviously, you know, there were obviously wrong things, and they're saying, you know, we do not support racism and all of this, but they are not saying we are this. This is who we are. You need to do this. They're not telling people this is who we are. This is what you need to do. They're almost floating in that middle.
Yeah.
Which is giving the NFL, that organization, much greater success, because floating in the middle allows you to reach both sides.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Silver's realizing that. And he's made some statements that kind of make me think he's trying to come back more to the middle. Because no matter how much you disagree with, I guess we could say, the hardcore Trumpers, and no matter how much you disagree with those people, again, you still want those people to be watching basketball yeah. games. Like,
well, it's like MJ said it, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to reach both sides of the yeah. aisle, whether you lean
so
that way.
So that's what I would
not.
Say. That's where I think the NFL has done a better job of keeping their fans.
Yeah.
In that way. But I don't think it'll ever be the same. I don't think this year it will be the same. I think there's still going to be some huge differences, and I don't see the ratings just going back to normal. Now, I think they will do better if the NBA kind of pulls back on some of those things. But I don't see it being the same this year.
Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be the same until, I think, Ryan, you said earlier, until there's a vaccine. I think once there's a vaccine, here's the bottom line. I think if you are in a state or a county or wherever you are, if you are able to have fans like Kansas City, the first game of, you know,
yeah.
their first game, they had fans. Like, if you're able to do that, then do that. Like, but obviously if you live, you know, in California, New York, some of these states where it's like, it's not going to happen for a long time. Okay. That it is what it is. But like the second there's a vaccine out, like, I think a lot of it should somewhat go back to normal, because now it's like the flu, you know what I mean? Like, you're yeah. going to get the flu vaccine every, you know, whatever, you're immune to it, what or whatnot. But for them to just continue to have them, and you know, it's getting into politics now to where it's like, you know, yeah. you're wearing a mask, you're not wearing a mask. It's mandated now. It's not mandated in certain areas. I think in order to get the fans back, I think even if stadiums or, you know, NBA teams say, okay, we're going to let X amount of fans in the building, but you have to wear a mask and sit, whatever. I think if everyone starts to implement that, I think viewership and things like that is going to change drastically. But for you to not have, like, any fans at all, mm-hmm. and, like, there's nobody in the building but the teams and the refs, like, that's where it's boring, and it's, like, not – you lose the viewership on that part. But if you – give them the opportunity to attend the games with masks, with safety protocols, things like that, I think it changes. But yeah, for the foreseeable future, I don't think it'll get to that point, just because, yeah, there's no vaccine right now. And with everything that's been going on, it's just hard to see when they will go back.
I hate giving him credit for this, because I hate Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the Major League Baseball Association. I hate him. He's the worst. But what to talk about what you're alluding to there, it was very smart of him to have the NLCS and the World Series in Texas where they're allowed to have fans. That move, I think, allowed them to pick up so much more momentum than they wouldn't have had if they would have had the World Series in LA or in San Diego. I went to game two of the World Series in Texas. I flew out there and went to that game. And literally on my flight, it had 90% of the people were wearing Dodgers gear on that flight to Arlington, like to Dallas. 90% of the people had Dodgers gear on. And everyone in that section of Delta had Dodgers gear, and everyone was... I mean, I know it's
you guys were
high
fiving.
Everyone was dabbing up, and they were high fiving, and people were like, you know, it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and they were, you know, hanging out and having breakfast burritos over here with people they've never met, and like, you know, there was, you know, while you're waiting at the gate, you know, there's every other chair is supposed to be like, you know, you're not supposed to sit there, and it was like tape off, and like Dodger fans were just like sitting on the tape, you know, like with their buddy, like people, you know, it was so. Because it was like, it was back. It felt for that moment. Like we were wearing masks, but it was back, you know, and it felt so good. Mm. And I think that was a smart move on Major League Baseball to say, let's hold these in a spot where we can have some fans. And at the game, it was, you know, it was, they couldn't mandate it during the inning, but you know, in between innings, they would have the ushers walk up and down, and if you weren't eating or you weren't drinking, they would walk by. Can you please put on your mask? Can you please put on your mask? And there were six chairs between each person, and there was no one in the row in front of you. And it was, you were spread out. And it definitely wasn't as loud, but it was, it still, you know, kind of for that little bit made it feel like this is back. I didn't think I would be able to go to a game for, you know, until for, I don't know how long.
Yeah, well over a year.
And to be there, I think, you know, kind of, says what you're saying, like it made it feel real and like it was back for that amount of time.
And I think that's all that needs to happen at this point is at least let a couple thousand people in. Your stadium's huge, like you know, and just have them spread out, wear masks, whatever, but just have that feel again of I'm at a sporting event. Mm-hmm. This feels good and it looks good, you know what I mean? And for them just to have games with no fans and things like that, it's just it'll be a while, I think, before everybody starts to adapt to, you know, the new normal is what they say now, I guess, with sporting events and things like that. But man, let's just get back to it.
Yep. I'm with you on that. Well, that was a good conversation. It took a little bit longer than I thought it was going to take.
Yeah.
But that was super fun. Well, since we went a little, we need to hit this segment right now because this is an amazing segment. Daylen, what do we got coming up right now? This is one of my favorite segments.
We are going to do the actually top five celebrations.
T's top five.
We're going with T on this one.
You did a jingle for me last time, so I had to do it for you. T's top five.
I love it. We're going to go NFL edition, T. So I want you to give me your top five celebrations in the NFL.
Hey.
This is all time, by the way.
All time. You know, I love...
No, you missed that. Whoa, but
okay, I'm sorry. My bad. Oh, Stop.
Okay, my bad.
Okay. No, so I'm excited about this. We're getting into the top five NFL celebrations. I'm gonna give you my top five NFL celebrations of all time. These are my favorite. Number five, I'm going with the discount double check. This is Aaron Rodgers. He's got the wrestler belt. Every time he would score a touchdown, he would do a rushing touchdown, he would do the discount double check. And he would do his wrestling belt. So that's number five. That's my number five favorite NFL celebration. Number four, I'm going with a guy that I watched a couple times a year, being a Broncos fan. I'm gonna go with the Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman. He would do the lights out sack dance every time he would sack the quarterback. He would do his lights out celebration, his lights out dance.
Can you do that one more time?
That was I loved it. I loved that celebration.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites to watch. Even though I hated, you know, watching my quarterback go down, but Sean Merriman, number three. I'm going with Albert Woods, aka Albert Icky Woods. I'm going with the Icky Shuffle. I wish I could stand up and do it, but we'll plug in the video right here so you can see. But the Icky Shuffle. Side to side dance, moving the feet, the Icky Shuffle. That's my third one. My number two favorite NFL celebration of all time is Cam Newton's Superman. That is my favorite one. Cam Newton, he'd get a touchdown.
Second favorite.
Sorry, my bad. My second favorite. Jumped the gun there. My second favorite. Cam Newton. He pull up in his jersey and he'd do the Superman.
Love it.
That's my number two. My number one favorite NFL celebration is Deion Sanders, the primetime dance. That primetime dance.
That's a good one.
Got to catch it. You know, I was young when watching it for the first time, you know, was elementary age student. But that's my favorite dance. The footwork, the pizzazz, the charisma. There was a lot that I wanted to go with, but
He was my favorite NFL nickname too.
He was your favorite. But yeah, Deion Sanders, primetime dance.
I think Gronk Spike would have been.
Yeah, Gronk Spike
would have been on my list.
That was one I was debating. The Gronk Spike I had.
This was only. I mean, he did it in college, but it was only a one-time celebration, and because of the history and everything like that, when Nick Bosa did the flag to Baker Mayfield after the 49ers beat the Browns. Yeah. Because he did it to him when he was at
OU.
I love that. That was really funny.
Yeah, I did. I debated with the Gronk Spike. I had the Dirty Bird with the Falcons. The Dirty Bird. I had that one too. But these are my top five
NFL celebrations. Pretty good top
I'm with
five.
Dalen on this one. I'd put Gronk on the top five. I would have
all
to.
Right. It's all right. Who would you have taken off?
I actually probably would have put. I don't know who I would have taken off. I would have put Gronk probably actually in the top three.
Yeah, but I think
because it was so iconic and he did it so much.
And I think
you
have two dances on there. I would have taken off your Icky Shuffle and put Gronk there. But
put Gronk in the Icky.
The primetime dance definitely, I think, is good.
I'll give you that one.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Water Break. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that bell to be notified when a new episode is available.
We got
some more good ones coming up for you guys. So stay tuned. Stay hydrated. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Water Break. New episodes get released every Monday and Wednesday.
So be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now to be notified when a new episode is available. For more exclusive content, check us out on Instagram at Water Break Pod, or you can watch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Stay hydrated.